Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
I'm Sam Wink. I'm the manager of marketing and communications at the Coquitlam Public Library, and I'm here to talk a little bit more about our upcoming speaker series, Conversations on Race in BC, that will be taking part starting October 11th.
Great. Thanks for joining me, Sam. To begin with, do you want to just give us a quick elevator pitch of what is the Conversations on Race in BC series?
Yeah, absolutely. So every year, Coquitlam Public Library chooses a different topic for what's called our special speaker series. This year, we decided, based on things that were happening in the news in our community and around BC, conversations on race was an important topic for us. So from there, our programming and outreach team put together a slot of five separate topics starting on October 11th and running every Wednesday until November 7th, covering Indigenous culture, the immigrant experience, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and culminating in a workshop that gives you a toolkit to be a better ally to your community.
Can you walk us through how you chose those topics in particular, that process of building out the program, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of it happened of just having our staff attend other talks in the community, seeing a speaker, for instance, Christine McKenzie, who's a First Nations artist and facilitator from the Coquitlam Nation. So we saw her speak at a different event and just thought she was brilliant, asked her to come. She was grateful and then started building from there. So from there, we had contacts with the Tri-Cities Local Partnerships Immigrant Advisory Table. And we asked if they'd come in and we just built from there. For Islamophobia and anti-Semitism, they've been in the news a lot. So we reached out to two organizations to speak from there. And then we looked for someone that might give a toolkit. I think conversations are great. These are fantastic conversations where you get to see a snapshot of some of these issues and then be able to speak to an expert in them at the end of it. But having that final piece on allyship gives people something to take home and really enact out in the community rather than just sitting with the knowledge themselves.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I know here at CJSF and a lot of organizations over the last couple of years have really tried to put a focus on anti-oppression and decolonization and doing work that both informs our membership and our audiences about the topics, but also, as you said, gives them a toolkit. Because that's, in our experience, that's the big step that has to happen. You can go and you can learn, but then how do we put it into action is a big question.
Yeah, and you know, they're kind of really tricky topics to deal with. You might be coming from a place where you're a little more familiar of it, or you might be coming from a place where it just hasn't impacted your life before and you're finding it's almost scary to engage with these topics because you're scared you're going to say the wrong thing and you're going to accidentally alienate someone or make a situation worse. In particular, this can happen if you have family members who have been online and they have some different ideas of how the world works and you still love them as a person and you want to come with them empathetically and with understanding and try and, you know, move the conversation along rather than have it shut down and become this dichotomy of visions. So for us, as libraries and libraries across BC are well known for this, you know, we're a great place to learn about something that's a safe environment. It's not judgmental. And taking it extra and having that piece of like, we understand you're going to run into these issues, or maybe you won't, but it's still good to have a toolkit that just helps you connect better with the community.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And I wanted to ask you about the role of the library itself in this, right? In being a place of learning, being a place where people can come and engage with community and engage on these important issues. Was that, as a library, did that really seem like a really important thing to do?
Absolutely. What you're seeing across North America, really, but I know specifically locally when I speak to other libraries that are part of BC, is the past couple of years has had this massive emphasis on fake news. And who better to combat things like fake news or news that is biased in some ways than a library? We're peer reviewed. We have all the books you need. We have staff that are understanding, helpful, and able to help you find things you might want to read. And we're in a position that we do have a lot of public trust, and we don't want to endanger that in any way. So we're putting together these programs from a completely neutral, completely educational, kind of a come to the water rather than waterboard someone with information.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, the library being able to present this, as you said, sort of from an objective point, but really from a, like, there's no, libraries aren't super politicized, right? I mean, there are some people who try to politicize just knowledge in general, but I think it's really, really important to come from that sort of community knowledge-based resource that here's some information on these topics that you're going to be hearing about in your day-to-day one way or another.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the nice thing is you're already in a library, so if you have a question on one side of a topic or another side, you have a professional who's instantly able to get you reference materials to help you out.
Yeah. And I think I know that that's something for us. You know, we do a weekly session where we go through one anti-oppression resource or another here at the station. And one of the things that has really taught me is that it can be very useful to have sort of an expert on hand to be able to ask these questions to, because they're big topics. And for a lot of us, you know, we might have encountered them, you know, in the news, or they might have been covered to some extent in our education, but a lot of it is new information to a lot of people.
Yeah, there's definitely been a larger appetite for it in the future, which is great. And to your point of, you might uncover it in the news because you yourself aren't speaking to it, that's still quite an academic take on it in that there's not emotion involved. So being able to get in the room with someone who's had this experience and hear their story and hear how they've dealt with issues that have arisen, how they've either overcome them or things they've experienced, having that human connection is always going to be that much more useful than just hearing something in the news or through a friend of a friend, because you're getting something that's very real.
Yeah, and really great to be able to combine that real emotional connection with a person with these experiences telling you them, and then being able to go, as you said, talk to an expert at the library or go find a primary source or secondary source there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We put things like this all the time, and just to the point that all libraries are trying to put things that they believe the community would be interested in and keeping it intellectuals. We'd love to get more people into programs. And I know that the Coquitlam Public Library isn't the only library that's putting on programs that have the workshop and the toolkit component to it. So if you can't make it out to ours, which I really hope that you do one of these Wednesdays, just look in on your local library. We're a great resource. We are unbiased. We're not politicized, and there's always someone there to help you. So I really would encourage anyone listening, or if this ends up being a video clip and you're watching, to go and support your local library, because, you know, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, for sure. I know it's a series, and I don't want to make you pick favorites, but is there anything you're particularly excited about or interested in the conversation series?
Well, I'll be attending every single one, but I am really actually excited with positioning of that allyship piece at the end, because I'm always interested on how I can grow my own toolkit, things like advances in language, or even just blind spots that I have as just a white woman are very important. Like, I can't come from that from an unbiased standpoint, but being able to hear that different viewpoint and be like, hey, when you say things like this, or when you approach it like this, you're actually taking space away from people who are marginalized. So for me, I'm most excited about that piece to learn more about how to have little pieces of diversity, equity, and inclusion in my daily life.
Yeah, always eager to be able to do some work and to take some steps to make change. So all of the speaker series, they're all at the main branch of the public library?
Yeah, that's right. They're at our city center branch, which is right next to the SkyTrain station at the Coquitlam Mall. They are registration only, and that's just so that we can ensure that there's enough space and it's flu season, so we want to make sure there's proper ventilation, but they are free to attend. So it's every Wednesday at 6:30, and it's about an hour, a bit longer. I think last time I took the SkyTrain from there, it's about 40, 45 minutes from downtown Vancouver.
Super easy.
Yeah, pretty easy, straight shot. You can read a book on your way. You can stop at your other local branch, grab a book, and then bring it to our library. That's fair.
Right. And where can people sign up and or find more information?
Absolutely. You can sign up on our website, which is coquelibrary.ca. That's coqlibrary.ca. And it's on the main page, or you can also just search for Conversations on Race.
Great. Thanks, Sam. Is there anything else you want people to know about this series or the Coquitlam Library in general?
Well, Coquitlam Library is always putting things on like this. We hope that you started attending some series like this. But like I said, look to your local libraries. They're putting on interesting things all the time, and they'd love to have you.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
This is Bird Note. It's a wistful moment when your backyard swallows or bluebirds depart each fall, like the tree swallows we're hearing now. Still, it's a comfort to know you provided a nest box for them to raise their young. The nest box served the birds well. But by October, it's time for one last duty, to clean it out. Cleaning will reduce the incidence of parasites in the box and will make it more inviting to next spring's potential tenants. It will also help you know for sure if it gets used again. Some experts recommend removing old nests into a plastic bag for disposal. Use gloves and a dust mask to avoid exposure to any avian diseases. Use a stiff brush or scraping tool to further clean the interior. Some people opt to disinfect the box with hot soapy water or even a mild bleach solution. A grubby bit of work, perhaps, but you'll be glad when next spring those avian gems, like the eastern bluebirds, grace your landscape once again. See a video about how to clean a nest box when you come to our website, birdnote.org. BirdNote gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram at BirdNote Radio.
Hi, I'm ready to go.
You're hiking in that?
Of course. It's such a beautiful day, and I didn't want too many layers because I would only have to carry them.
You do realize these are mountains, right? It can go from sun to snow. And the paths are pretty rough and rocky. Maybe too much for flip-flops.
I'm pretty sure I'm prepared. I saw a picture of the hike on Instagram.
Everyone wants to enjoy the outdoors. Just remember the three T's. Trip plan, train, and take the essentials. Being unprepared could lead you to a situation where you need help, like from the North Shore Rescue, a community-based search and rescue team that provides life-saving services. For tips on how to prepare for a hike, book an info session, or to donate, visit their website at www.northshorerescue.com. That's www.northshorerescue.com.
This is a Missy Elliott exclusive.
I keep coming back to you. And I ask myself why. Hey, guess I love that nigga too much. Just don't waste all my time. I go way out my way, making you satisfied. But it don't matter how hard I try. You don't care how I be feeling inside. You gon' make me tell you kiss my ass goodbye. Jealous, and I don't like to share. Hey, I love you and so much till I'm losing myself. I done tried and I tried. Oh, I don't know what to do. You walking around, got the girls thinking you cute. Hey, I'ma do me, nigga. You can go and do you. Hey, better not play me, cause you gon'.
Why the hell I still love you?
inside. You don't care how I be feeling inside. You gon' realize when I find me a new guy. You can go ahead, I'm gon' be alright. Pay my own bills, I'm gon' be alright.
Good morning and welcome back to CJSF. I want to share with you today an interview that I pre-recorded with Joe Boyd, who is an artist from the Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival. I pre-recorded this interview about 2 weeks ago, so keep in mind that it is, 2 weeks old, and the Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival is unfortunately not on for any longer, but I still want to share with you this interview.
My name is Joe Boyd. I am a volunteer with Stillman Arts Society in Vancouver. I'm also on the board of directors.
And Have you ever wondered what it would be like to keep bees in your backyard? Or brew your own beer? Or wondered
you
how
mentioned
the 3D printer actually works? Curiosity killed the cat, the saying goes. But we wonder anyways. Humans are inquisitive by nature. How can we find the answers to these questions? Ah, the good old YouTube spiral. Start out searching for brewing tutorials and end up learning how to code, all in an afternoon. I've spent countless hours online, researching and troubleshooting. My curiosity led me to a diverse community of makers and creatives right in my own backyard. Vancouver is witnessing a sharp rise in DIY, or do-it-yourself, culture. More and more people are turning to their peers and sort of crowdsourcing knowledge to deepen their understanding of the natural world, empower themselves with new skills, and reconnect to their local communities. I spoke with 5 DIYers about what it is they're up to and what makes them tick. Along the way, I was hoping to discover why the DIY movement is on such a rise. Meet Aaron Udall, an environmental educator running the beekeeping programs for the Environmental Youth Alliance. With a background in conservation biology, Aaron specializes in creating programs that inspire youth to become curious about their own backyards and encourage environmental stewardship.
I was in university and I really didn't have any sort of knowledge or connection to bees, and I got a summer internship. And in the interview, the professor opened up a box of bees and I was just totally hooked. The different species will blow your mind. There's different colors you've never even imagined, sizes, body shapes. And then when you go out in the field and you see these organisms in action and all the different species interacting with different kinds of flowers, you realize the intricacy of those symbiotic relationships. You could study your whole life and not know a fraction of what there is to know about bees.
Ethnobotanist Bryce Watts is a lover of plants. He's a founding member of Forager Foundation, a local organization committed to promoting global cultural heritage. He leads public foraging tours in and around Vancouver, educating people on the wild foods that can be found locally.
It started from my grandpa on my mom's side. I was really young when he would take us out into the forest. He lived in rural Alberta.
Hello, this is Caroline again. Sorry for the inconvenience. I had some technical difficulties. Again, I'm going to share with you the interview I pre-recorded with Joe Boyd, who is an artist from the Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival.
My name is Joe Boyd. I am a volunteer with Still Moon Arts Society in Vancouver. I'm also on the board of directors. And I'm an artist at the Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival as well.
You mentioned the Still Moon Art Society, and we've actually heard a little bit about that on CJSF, but maybe you can remind the listeners what it's about and what you guys do.
Well, I could give you the official mandate, but Still Moon Arts is using art and stewardship, environmental stewardship, to build community, is how I think of it. A lot of different types of arts, just about anything. And Still Moon initially started taking the garbage out of the Renfrew Ravine, where Still Creek is. So there's always been an environmental stewardship component to it as well.
And how did you get involved, or why did you decide to get involved?
Well, I've known about it over the years. The first events, I'll call them, I got quite involved with is what's called the Twilight Crow Ride. It hasn't happened for a couple of years, but it's, I work at BCIT in Burnaby, and especially this time of year, you watch the crows flying back to their roost. And so the Crow Ride starts in Vancouver near Nanaimo, and it's a bike ride, an easy bike ride that follows the crows back to their nest along the Central Valley Greenway. And the roost is, it's near Home Depot in Burnaby. If you know that area, sort of Gilmore and Still Creek Road.
Okay.
But there are thousands of crows that come back from all over the greater Vancouver. They come to the same place. And so it's pretty amazing to watch them come there. And it's sort of, it reflects like something Still Moon Arts does. It's very much about the seasons and being in tune with the seasons. Because the crows, it happens at dusk, but so the fall and the spring is when you notice it the most. But the moon festival is the same. It's tied to the fall equinox. There'll be the harvest moon. The days are getting shorter.
Yeah.
So it's staying in tune with the season as well.
And you already mentioned Still Moon Art Society is hosting the 21st Renfrew Ravine Moon Festival.
Yes.
It started September 9th, right? So it's been going on for a little while?
Yes. And so there's always smaller activities leading up to the main day. The main day was Saturday, the day before yesterday. But there's also this Friday, there's the final event, which is called the Consciousness of Streams, which is a performance event to help to make people aware of the streams, the lost streams of Vancouver, the ones that are buried underground. So there are a number of events that lead up to the main day of the Moon Festival.
And you were meant to participate in the Streamside Lantern installation, which was also on Saturday, right?
Yeah, on Saturday. So on Saturday, it starts with what's called the Harvest Fair, which is at Slocan Park near 29th Avenue SkyTrain station. And it's like a fall harvest fair. There's even a vegetable judging competition. Not these massive pumpkins, but sometimes it's the most unique vegetables. But there are a number of tables, community groups there. There will be different craft workshops. There's music. There's food. Different community groups reflecting how diverse the community is. And then at sunset, there is a procession that goes down beside the ravine. It's about a kilometer down to 22nd. So to where the Still Creek comes out beside Renfrew Community Center. And down in there, there's trails and it's more accessible. And there's a lantern installation.
What was that about? Like, what did people get to see?
It's quite a range of lanterns. Some of it, a lot of them are made with tissue paper and say bamboo or some sort of frame, a wire frame. There are a lot of jar lanterns on the ground. Jar lanterns being recycled jars with candles in them in different colors. And a range of things. There's one that's projected. There's music, gamelan music. There's a tea display, a tea station you can go to. One of the stations is called Prayers for the Water, which is where people write things on rice paper, sort of wishing the best for the water. And it gets hung in the trees, but sometime this week they'll be let go into the creek, sort of to wish the creek well. There's one spot on the creek where a big tree has come down across the creek, and one of the artists has a beaver lantern. So it's a large, it's like 3 feet long. It's a large
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of them are nature related, but it's just a range of different things.
And was your art there as well? Like, did you put your art?
I wasn't able. I've had back problems, but it was there last year, and it's mine. There's a very large old cedar stump at one end of the walkways, and I make. Well, I weave ivy into baskets, and which become lanterns. And this is something I learned through Still Moon Arts. They have these, what they call weeding and weaving with ivy sessions, where you actually go into the ravine and you pull out invasive English ivy. Mm-hmm. So you weed it, and then you can weave it into baskets. And in the baskets, you could put like a candle. And it shows through the cracks in the ivy, so it's makes a lantern.
And why did you choose to work with like natural materials and especially ivy or willow?
It's just how I got started, but a lot of it is about the stewardship, about removing invasive species, and the fact that you can make something useful out of them was quite appealing. And part of it is the groups you get involved with. I mean, I've done two or three of these workshops, and I've taught some of the workshops. And it's always interesting to see the people helping each other. It's like building community. And everyone comes up with something different. And they start to appreciate, you know, what's growing, what are indigenous plants, and what are the invasives that are tend to take over.
Yeah. So what's the process like when you start working on a project like this, or what are the challenges that might come up?
Working with ivy, it's never a problem finding enough of it. There's lots of it around. It's just at this point I've done it a fair bit. It's deciding what it looks like. For the Moon Festival, it's making sure I have enough. Having the lighting, where to place them, and for all of the artists, it's working with. There are different sort of sites along the creek, so it's working with what you're given, so that people will appreciate what you've created. And it's very different because you're setting up during the day, but it all looks quite different in the dark, and it's very dark in the ravine. It's quite forested, so. It's quite magical at night with the lanterns.
Yeah, I can imagine. Sounds great. We already mentioned the Moon Festival isn't going on for too long. It's just one more Friday, I think.
Yeah, just the one more event on Friday, yes.
Yeah. So is there any other way people get to see like your art or the art of the other artists as well, like outside of the festival?
Yes, there are. Some of what is here, it's just for the Moon Festival, and some of them are quite large lanterns, or, you know, there's a wolf, there's a pair of hands, there's a tea set, which come back every year. But one of the lantern artists, Yoko Tomita, she teaches lantern workshops and other types of arts through Collingwood Neighborhood House and Collingwood Neighborhood House Annex. Another of the woman who makes lanterns, Naomi Eisen-Steinberg, is the director of Secret Lantern Society. And she also has events, workshops. There's a lantern festival around the December solstice as well.
Oh, okay.
So there are different groups, and they connect. And, I mean, you have to sort of keep your eye out for them. So there are different workshops along the way.
Yeah, sounds great. Is there a website or something that people get to see the events?
Yeah, stillmoonarts.ca is... So if you go through there, yes, you'll find it all.
Okay. Sounds great. Is there anything else you want the listeners to know